President Biden unveiled a 200-page national strategy to fight the coronavirus pandemic, which means he's already done more to fight the coronavirus than former president, that guy with the hair. I can't, whatever. That's Seth Meyers. Kicking off your late night jokes, Jimmy Kimmel said at the top of the list, things they needed to dramatically improve are Trump's vaccine rollout plan, which will be a challenge considering the fact that we found out it does not exist. Seth Meyers said the Trump administration had a year and they didn't even sit down and draw up a plan. Was coronavirus task force leader Mike Pence in cold storage during that whole time? Did Dr. Birx get lost in a pile of scarves? Jimmy Fallon, you know, honestly, what did they expect? It's like walking into your house and being mad that your dog didn't do your taxes. Fallon's writers, man, they've had a good year now. Like, it's been a good, solid year of, I think Fallon's writing has been on point. Colbert said, President Biden signed 10 executive orders to get his pandemic plan rolling, including a requirement for masks while traveling, studies and trials of COVID-19 treatments, and more public data on cases and vaccinations. It's a new strategy the White House is calling Operation Well Duh. Fallon, as part of Biden's new COVID strategy, he's launching the 100 Days Masking Challenge. Biden's smart. He knows that he can get Americans to do anything if he makes it sound like a TikTok challenge. And Colbert says the best part is the Biden administration is going to keep us informed about what they're doing with regular expert-led science-based public briefings, which will be a nice change from moron-led, Clorox-based dexamethasone ramblings. Wow. From Empire Online, Jim Gaffigan's got a new gig. Disney is making a live-action version of Peter Pan and Wendy. Jim Gaffigan will play Mr. Smee. That makes me realize I don't know anything about Peter Pan and Wendy other than there's Peter Pan, Wendy, and Captain Hook, I think. Who's Mr. Smee? Well, he's Jim Gaffigan. Hey, are you trying to fill your Sunday podcast with material? Well, good news for you. The Critics' Choice Awards have put out their nominations. The Critics' Choice Awards are bestowed annually to honor the finest in cinematic and television achievement. Historically, they are the most accurate predictor of Academy Award nominations. The nominations for Best Comedy Special are Fortune Feimster's Sweet and Salty, Hannah Gadsby's Douglas, Jerry Seinfeld's 23 Hours to Kill, Mark Maron's End Times Fun, Michelle Buteau's Welcome to Batopia, and Patton Oswalt's I Love Everything. If you ask me there, complete no-brainer, Hannah Gadsby, Douglas. That was one of my favorite things of 2020. No-brainer there. The nominations for Best Comedy Series are Better Things, FX, The Flight Attendant, HBO Max, Mom, CBS, Pen 15, Hulu, Rami, Hulu, Schitt's Creek on Pop, Ted Lasso, Apple TV+, What We Do in the Shadows, FX. Johnny Mack's pick is no doubt Ted Lasso, which was my favorite thing of 2020. Like everything that happened in 2020, I watched Ted Lasso. That was the best thing of that entire year. The critics, of course, are going to pick Schitt's Creek. I don't get it, but Schitt's Creek just wins awards and, you know, they'll go with the flow. Hey, Schitt's Creek, I don't even know why we had nominations. You're just going to win. Best Actor in a Comedy Series, Hank Azaria for Brockmire, Matt Berry for What We Do in the Shadows. Interesting there. Nicholas Holt for The Great, Eugene Levy for Schitt's Creek. All right, he wins, right? Schitt's Creek, congrats. Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso, best thing ever. And Rami Youssef for Rami. He's really good in that. They'll give it to Eugene Levy and I would give it to Rami. Best Actress in a Comedy Series, Pamela Adlon for Better Things, Christina Applegate, Dead to Me, Kaylee Cuoco for The Flight Attendant, Natasha Dimitriou for What We Do in the Shadows, Catherine O'Hara for Schitt's Creek, Issa Rae for Insecure, I Have No Opinion there, Schitt's Creek's in there, they're just going to win, congrats again. It's the Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, William Fichtner for Mom, Harvey Guillen for What We Do in the Shadows, Daniel Levy for Schitt's Creek, so just stop there, we know he's going to win, Alex Newell for Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, Matt Proch for What We Do in the Shadows, Andrew Rannells for Black Monday, I Have No Strong Opinion there, congratulations to Schitt's Creek once again, Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, Lisey Goranson for The Conners, Rita Moreno for One Day at a Time, Annie Murphy for Schitt's Creek, Ashley Park, Emily in Paris, Jamie Presley for Mom, Hannah Waddingham for Ted Lasso, and yep, they'll just give it to Schitt's Creek. Vulture is kind of obsessed with Matt Berry, and I love what they're doing there. They wrote, these are hard times, and when things get really dark, we here at Vulture like to double down on things that are still capable of bringing us happiness. That's why we're running this recurring column, which serves as half celebration and half brainstorm for someone we're constantly delighted to see show up on our screens, beloved British performer of stage and screen, Matt Berry. You guys know Matt Berry. Let's see. I'll talk to the Americans here. How do you know Matt Berry? The British vampire in What We Do in the Shadows. Now you know who I'm talking about. He's also in the IT Crowd, Toast of London. Matt Berry. You would know him if you saw him. He's hilarious. So here's Vulture's premise. It's a new day in America. There's a new president. And with this moment of renewal and reconsideration of what it means to be an American citizen, there's an opportunity for rejuvenation. We can make fresh starts. We can summon the energy for optimism. We can gather up the tattered pieces of our hearts and find within ourselves the capacity for small glimmers of hope. At this nascent hopeful moment, it's vital that we put our best feet forward. We must begin as we mean to go on. We must make the most of this tender, fragile dream of better tomorrow. We must put Matt Berry on our televisions as often as possible. And in order to do that, we must make him the official spokesperson for Ocean Spray Cranberries. This is long, but I love it. Ocean Spray Cranberries, an American treasure if there ever was one, have had roughly the same boring-ass ad campaign for over a decade. The general shtick is two cranberry farmers, one old and one young, standing thigh-deep in a flooded cranberry bog, extolling the virtues of the quintessential American fruit. Sometimes they talk about mixing cranberries with other fruit. Sometimes they talk about the health benefits. Sometimes there are gentle pratfalls with their props falling in the pool of floating berries. I have not seen any of these commercials. I must skip them on DVRs. It's not a bad ad campaign, says Vulture, as these things go, but the two farmers standing in a field have been doing this bit for years. They need a new image, first and foremost, but more vitally, they need Matt Berry. The combination of brand and celebrity spokesperson is a mysterious alchemical cultural compound, and the best spokespeople are the ones who combine something innate in their public selves with some critical part of the company's image. Cranberries are not especially exciting fruits. They lack the sex appeal of a strawberry, the exoticism of a kiwi, but they have a strong, tart, potent flavor, and attempting to hide them behind the comforting, familiar cover of an apple does them a disservice. I didn't realize I was going to do 7 minutes on Matt Berry today. I've actually got a legit Matt Berry story at the end of this, but this rant is wonderful. Cranberries need a spokesperson who will speak up for their potency, someone who will represent their unapologetic flavor with the zest and distinction they deserve. Matt Berry, too, can be something of an acquired taste. Just beneath the surface of his regular middle-aged white guy exterior, there's a swift flowing current of unmistakable strangeness. This is exactly what the cranberry needs. Obviously, there's also the incredible synergy of someone named Matt Berry becoming the public-facing representative for a berry, but that's beside the point. We at Vulture would never peg a person's career and a company's public image on one coincidence of naming and then become obsessed with that idea and then use it as the foundational premise for an entire Vulture column about one person and sneakily shift that original concept to later in the series in order to bury the entire thing's goofy origins. Never. Yeah, they've done a bunch of these Matt Berry articles. I might have to make this a Sunday thing where I just go back and read these. These are wonderful. Great job, Vulture. Clearly this makes sense for Ocean Spray, but why does it make sense for Matt Berry? He shouldn't be pursuing big serious roles like playing Batman or appearing in The Mandalorian or taking on most of the parts in Phantom of the Opera, but celebrities also need to earn enough background money so they can tackle their less lucrative dream projects. Just wonderful. From Deadline, Channel 4 has backtracked on its decision to commission a second series of Victorian-era comedy crime caper Year of the Rabbit after the coronavirus pandemic forced the British broadcaster into £150 million of content cuts. You Brits already know who stars in this. Yanks, can you guess from the context clues? What British actor do you think stars in Year of the Rabbit? Hint, I just did 5 minutes about him. That's right. Matt Berry is the star of that show. The show stars Matt Berry as a detective in Victorian London who fights crime alongside his hapless partner, played by Freddie Fox, and the country's first female police officer, performed by Susan Wacoma. The creators are looking for additional funding. IFC's in on the American end. Hey, Brits. Open up the wallets. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. Otherwise, he's going to have to do ads for cranberries. Deadline has learned that Matt Berry is working on a new series of his BAFTA-winning comedy, Toast of London. One of the creators there says, "The best thing I can imagine is Toast in his black suit, completely unchanged, in the midst of America." That could be very interesting. Let's stay on your side of the pond. From The Guardian, when venues were closed by the pandemic, James Acaster, Maria Bamford, and other top comics got to work on a web series to rescue The Bill Murray, which is a place in London. It sounds like the premise for a sitcom, and now it is The Bill Murray. That's the name of the place, not, you know, don't think about the Groundhog guy. The Bill Murray in North London, home to the Angel Comedy Club, is a commune for stand-ups. Comedians live as well as perform there, but like every venue in the land, it found itself critically endangered and inactive under lockdown. So what did the boss do? They made a sitcom about the desperate measures a comedy club takes to survive a moratorium on live performance. Big-name stand-ups rushed to take part. It became like Avengers Assemble. The result, Save the Bill Murray, streams next week. The Guardian tells us it helps to know what the Bill Murray is. It is a pub bought by comedians in 2017 and then renamed to run as a comedy club and college. Its instincts are egalitarian. Its value is more creative than commercial. James Acaster says the room's amazing because they're comedians. They kept tweaking it until they got this perfect room that's beautiful to perform and watch comedy in. It's a real hidden gem. I can't remember another instance of comics getting their own venue, designing it for stand-up, and making it work. One of the comedians, Tim Key, offered to perform a lockdown gig to one single audience member. He said, I hadn't been on stage for months. There I was with a sheet of perspex in front of me and one audience member. You had a comedian desperate to perform and an audience member star for any comedy. It was really a warm moment. Acaster says, if and when we can do live performance again, it's going to be all hands on deck and everyone pulling together to get people back into the clubs. I always think with digital comedy, it's very important that it's not brilliant. I deliberately turn in a worse performance of everything I do so that people keep missing live comedy. Save the Bill Murray. It will be available to Angel Comedy Patreon members from January 29th on. Check that out. Boy, I've got a lot of leftovers today. I didn't expect to do 7 minutes on Matt Berry, but those things can wait. I do this 7 days a week. Believe me, at some point I will need the stories that can wait. And that's your daily comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Overcast. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and click on the button there and I'll get $5. And with it, I will buy an iced coffee. I've got one right here. And I'll see you tomorrow.